All right. Hello, guys. Welcome. It's Behind the Bunker. It's Monday night, and I got my tight pants on, according to Gavin. It is our weekly paintball podcast. My name is Todd Ansich. Thank you guys for joining me. With me tonight, I have Josh Zubizabrickis.
Yeah. Well, that's me. Hey. Hi. Welcome to the show, eh?
And we have Joe Kimson, also from Canada.
Greetings and thanks for tuning in. It's Tiger Night, Tiger Stripe Night in Canada tonight. I have someone instead of maybe someone else in the show, but it is various varying degrees of green night too.
Our side of the table needs to coordinate more.
We do.
We're lacking.
You guys all know that watching right now that we are that you want a Tiger Stripe hoodie. You know you do.
Yeah.
And speaking of live, we are also live on Instagram. So welcome to all the guys logging in on Instagram as well. We do see you. But we also have to say hello to Garvin Sharma from Terra Tech Industries.
You have to. That's in my contract. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Behind the Bunker, Monday night, 8:05-ish. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you hit that like, share, and tag a friend or three in the chat so they know what's going on tonight. Again, as always, we're going to be watching that chat, so anything you are contributing, we'll try to read out if we can catch it. Thanks for joining us. It's going to be a great show. Strap in.
Paintball Maverick on Instagram says, I would love a Tiger Stripe hoodie. Well, it ain't for free, sucker. You're going to pay through your teeth for it.
And it's not hoodie weather right now.
That's true. We're nearing the end of hoodie weather. All right.
It was almost time to get out the Navy Silky shorts.
Navy SEAL shorts?
All right. Can you at least change sides this year so it doesn't wear out again?
Yeah. That's the best part.
Yeah. So this is episode 642, podcast 520. Thank you for all of you guys that are logging in on Facebook. We see you on YouTube as well as Instagram as well. All right, so tonight we are going to be talking about what new product are you hoping to come out with this year at the summit. The summit is just next week, and first event of NXL. So between those two events, hopefully we'll see some new equipment. Ask us paintball questions. We did put a post up this week. We have several of yours. And as the show goes on, you guys are welcome to post your questions up, and we'll try to get to it on the show. As I said, 4 days left until NXL Las Vegas. Make sure you guys get yourself organized to be there. And if you can't be there, watch Major League Paintball. You'll be able to see me watching the WNXL and Semi-Pro. Or you can go over to Go Sports and get your paid subscription. The summit also starts on Monday morning. That's the industry trade show conference. That's in lieu of paintball extravaganza. Make sure you guys stay tuned for our social media. We'll have all kinds of, hopefully, tidbits from that as well.
Tiddly bits.
And if you would like to come and join us, book now. All of this is happening at the Sahara. Well, I shouldn't say the NXL event is, but certainly the summit will be, as well as the players party on Sunday night. And the award show is also happening on Sunday night. How to get tickets? Want to attend the world's biggest party of the year, but not sure how? Go to MajorLeaguePaintball.com, then click the Get Tickets button on the landing page.
What if I'm only interested in the second biggest party of the year?
Yeah, well, I guess you'll have to go somewhere else. Yeah. Thank you, Derek Lewis, for sending us some stars on the Facebook.
I saw that.
I want to get you guys your opinion on this. So there was a post that HK Army put up. This is their thoughts on the top five most iconic paintball markers, ranking historic paintball markers well known for defining their era. I don't know if I agree with all of them, but certainly they made their...
That's quite a mouthful.
So speaking of mouthful, Doo-Doo Brown Angel is number one. Or maybe not ranked number one, but certainly they're one of five. Rocky Cagnoni's Doo-Doo Brown Warped Angel. Okay. Lasoya Intimidator. Matt shaking his head. I would say that was a huge change that started the whole trend of people going over to the Electric Spider, the Intimidator, whatever you want to call it. Third, the Bumblebee Cocker. Billy Saransky's personal Bumblebee SFL Cocker. I've never known this to be a thing, but I'll put Auto Cockers in there for sure.
Auto Cockers for sure. Is that a Palmer's Three-Way in the front?
Yep. It is. Yep.
Yeah. Thoughts so far?
Yeah.
Angel,
Yeah. It's iconic.
Angel themselves, I would. I just don't know if I had the doo-doo brown.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. They're really specific in terms of.
I will say.
Lasoya's for sure.
Yeah, I would say Lasoya. Definitely. I've seen every paintball magazine had that picture of him on there, and that's probably what made a lot of people.
That marker was everywhere.
Yeah. Fourth, the Dynasty Shocker.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Oliver Lang's personal faded Dynasty STF Shocker. So, yeah, I mean, we that sold
an NXT, not an SFT.
It says SFT, though.
Dynasty. But the one in the picture is an NXT. Is it not?
No, it's the Dynasty Shocker.
Thank you.
Yeah, so whatever. That's, again, I would say that is. And then these all have been speedball markers thus far, but they put in number five, the Nell Spot 007. Sure.
Well, that's what got us. If there was no 007 and people didn't start shooting each other, we would not be here doing this, probably.
Probably.
I would have had a real job, and I'm retired by now.
So I agree with most of them as the gun themselves. Are we missing any? Right. Should the Model 98 have been put in there? Should a Spider been put in there?
Model 98 from a field owner.
Shake your head.
But they say iconic. So
A5, I think, was more iconic from a marker owner's standpoint.
Or do you think some? Just hear me out. Or do you think some of do you think some of our comments are more regional?
Huh?
Do you think some of our comments are more regional? Like the Nell Spot 007 should be all encompassing because it's part of the phenomena. However, when paintball started, it just started in New Hampshire in one place. Then it spread to, 20 or so franchises. Then someone started using the Sheridan PGP, but it was just a bolt action. Then they had the Mark One Uzi. Then the 8-shot repeater came out, and then some of the 50 caliber ones. But then you say A5. Was an A5 everywhere, or was it just in certain areas? Because people were using Spiders maybe more in California.
I say A5 because I know for a fact that like the A5 also hit like the UK and Europe and North America. And like the A5 came, and then I think it was like 1 or 2 years after that, like the A5 stealth hit.
Yeah.
And then if you went on the field, like at that time, you went to any scenario game or rental game or whatever, everyone had an A5.
Remember when the stealth came? Like we sold A5s, and then the stealth came, and people were going, wow, and that's a flat line.
It was massive.
You could shoot for miles with that thing. Not miles, but you know what I mean.
Kilometers.
Yeah. We're shooting meters. Meters.
Yeah, I get, know. But when you say iconic, I mean, are they influential markers where you saw people like the Tippmann effect were shooting the Tippmanns? So you could maybe say that. Yes, everybody used them as a rental, but were they iconic? I get it. I would also say the DM4.
I assume that
was going to be on the list.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Chris in the live chat says Ions, like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The axe kind of hit the same way, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say. But
it's almost more of an iconic underdog than anything.
What else are we missing, everybody? Bobby Doust on Instagram says everybody used a WGP pump.
Did they? We didn't have sniper pumps until we all bought Cockers and took the pneumatics off the front. Like, we didn't. We never bought.
No, I bought a standalone a Sniper 2.
Bought a Sniper 2.
Yes.
But a normal Sniper, you didn't, because we all had we all had auto cockers, and we took the pneumatics off and we ordered pump kits because they didn't. No one had.
I bought an Outcast 2.
An Outcast 2, but then
that was pure pump. I didn't take any odd throughways off that or anything.
Brian Foster says, "Ooh, I miss my DM4."
DM4.
Joe's is olive green too.
It is olive green. It's pretty great.
With the star on it?
With the star on it. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I saw that and I thought it'd be at least worth a conversation. I don't think they're far off. I think I agree with most of them. But the other one that I was thinking of is, what about a Bob Long? What, like Bob Long shooting one of his old guns?
But that's Intimidator.
That's
I guess.
That's
you're right. Yeah, you're right.
There you go, Anthony Tucci. How's that for some paintball talk?
Look at this guy.
That's not paintball talk. Can we move on?
I'm going to give a quick shout out to Fort Knox Paintball for this poster. I saw Dan Donahoe post it. Pump Day, June 15th. If you know, you know. Yeah.
Can you explain it to me?
Well done. Oh, the image is gone. Sorry, Gavin.
Damn.
Fold a gap. Soviet invasion, November 1st to 3rd. And
what a tanky looking photo.
It is a tanky looking photo.
That comment tanked.
There's several tanks in that photo.
I would almost, I'd like to go to... I don't know if I'd like to go to Fold a Gap more, if I'd like to go to Fort Bragg and wander around Army surplus stores. That'd be kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
I think Fold a Gap and Super Game are my two all-time faves. If I was invited to either of those, I would go. I think, Joe, you'd like the Fold a Gap because of all the tanks that are there, but they're not real tanks.
No, I get it.
But if you like tank play, that would be pretty cool.
Sometimes we do role-playing. I guess we could try. We've tried tanks.
Nice to
that? Yes. Come on, it was funny.
Nice to see Phoenix Gasparini finally tuning in. She said she did a transmission swap just in time for BTB. Well, you missed the first 10 minutes. Oh, well. But thank you for coming anyways.
And we're just wrapping up right now, so thank you.
Next week. Because there is no show next week.
All right. Oh, that's right. So, yeah, no show next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Scotchtoberfest next Wednesday, so we won't be here.
Yeah. I'll be down at the summit, hopefully getting you guys some content. We'll have to see how things go down there. Hey, if you guys are planning on going to Living Legends, join the blue team. Why? Because Chase Traffic Morris is on the blue team.
Playing on the blue team. Monday, Sunday at 8 a.m. You think I was a guitar there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Charles Holden, hello, Charles.
I know this is becoming a lot of paintball content, but I'm going to give you a little bit more. We'll shove it down your throat. Action scenario events are going to host Black Hawk Down. Did we talk about that guy on Instagram?
Ryan Sexton?
Okay, I'll have to show.
All right.
So head on over to Black Hawk Down. That's in March 16th and 17th. They're also hosting a game called Fire for Effect in May. We have The Brand that's happening in October. They have two more in November, The Fight Club and True Blood. And they have Christmas Vacation happening in December. So make sure you guys check out their official website and find out where the closest game to you is going to be. And speaking of websites, head on over to BehindTheBunker.com. Here is a blatant plug. If you guys would like to have some Behind the Bunker merch, they're up there now, and they're selling well. So head on over and choose your hoodie, your color, or your design. Multitudes to choose from.
None of which are Tiger Stripe.
None of them are Tiger Stripe. Yet.
If you purchase enough of these, we will order Tiger Stripe ones.
That's right. I want to sell enough shirts to trade that into Tiger Stripe dollars and then buy some Tiger Stripe for you guys. Joe, I think you sent this to me on Instagram, a company called Snow Skin Gear.
Yeah.
I'll pull up their website. They've got what looks to be paintball goggles, but they're marketing as skiing goggles.
Exactly. Kind of interesting, but if you think back into the days of paintball,
your
days of your Die Had a Skeet, Die Had Snow, but also JT brought out in the early days, not only did they have JT snow ski goggles, but they also had JT sunglasses. That's going way back, but the JT ski goggles they were giant. If you think a Spectre was big, the JT goggles were enormous. I don't think I have a pair of them. And I don't think Todd does. I think John Hagee might have a pair. I'm going to ask him next time.
Dye's ski goggles were quite large as well.
They were as well.
Yeah, but they were in charge. Phoenix Gasparini, thank you so much for sending us 200 starry news.
Well, look who's got swapping transmission money.
She's probably so happy that she's got it back in that she's just stars for everybody. But she does say Tiger Stripe hoodies for everybody. And she's not doing this, but I'm going to make. Yeah. So there you go. So, yeah, so stay far away from the snow ninja mask. And I did go all over their website. There's nothing about paintball or raid in front of that.
Yeah, it's not paintball, but it is kind of neat that they use that mask and it's a goggle. I guess it would keep your face warm if you have it in a ski goggle.
No windburn.
But like some of the ski helmets by Oakley, Smith, Pock, they all have
two?
It. Tupac. They all, some of them have, some of the higher end ones have an integrated goggle built. The lens is built right on.
Like a fighter pilot.
Like a fighter pilot. So it goes up and down like that. Not electronic, but some of the higher end goggles have that. So it's kind of, that's kind of cool.
If anyone has a toddler, rewind that about 30 seconds. Joe's playing peekaboo there with
Jeff,
it. Jeff
Thompson says, weren't JT ski goggles just motocross frames? No, they were even bigger than the motocross frame.
That's your clip for Instagram.
They didn't make a, they had, the motocross ones had a sound when you put them on, Jeff. They went whoop, 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 like that. Whereas the ski ones went like that. So they have different sounds of their iconic. That's true, Gavin.
It's kind
of
like, I just appreciate all the sound effects.
It's kind of like when Zuby wears his corduroys.
Well, you know what? A lot of the sound effects, not only because we didn't have images, but the sound effects really help that those that just really tune in for the podcast. This is, you know, one of the sound bites that you get.
These are audio delights.
Audio delights, you know.
Like garden treats.
By the way, nice to see the guys logging in on our Instagram feed. I realize that the video is smaller than it should be, and we're going to work on that for next week. We're just trying to...
Oh, next week,
trying to see it. Well, the week after,
you're teasing
rather.
People lying. We've got, they're coming out.
We've with, got postage stamp budget because not enough stars on Facebook.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Speaking of skiing, I wanted to give a quick plug out or a quick shout out. These guys, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the UZ. Actually, here's the
UZ.
Box.
Yeah.
So, skiing on the weekend, and I wear glasses, and it dawned on me that they sent these. I got these for my paintball goggles, but I went and tried them, and they fit in my. No, that's where my nose goes. Yeah, you're right.
I sure.
So yeah,
sure
they am. Fit in my ski goggles. So if you guys are out there snowboarding and skiing, or motocrossing, or any other sport that needs goggles but not and necessarily paintballs, yeah, head on over to UZ, and it's spelled YOUZEE. And check it out.
Echo.
These things were great. They weren't expensive. They're super light. And they work, and they can work in multiple uses. So,
if I was a diver, could you put them in a face mask, like in your mask?
I doubt it,
Joe. I don't know why. I think you could.
Like a snorkel goggle.
Like a snorkel.
You know those full face snorkel goggles? No,
not those ones. Like a proper scuba one. Like when we were doing Navy SEAL foot signals.
Yes, I don't think so.
I was kicking you.
Well, maybe it depends on the diving mask, but no, I don't think so.
As soon as I have my pool open, I'll invite you over. You can.
They make one for space helmets. It's just got the arms that are really long, so it goes in like this.
Joe's got a point. We have full face goggles, like they're the full ones. They would work in that, but ones with the bridge of the nose.
It's got to connect to something, otherwise it's just rolling around in there.
Yeah, yeah, but they're surgical tape,
Gavin. Just tape it on your face.
But a scuba goggle is the same as a paintball goggle. Like,
no,
it has
not.
Some depth.
What?
Okay, whatever. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong. Yeah, you're right.
We're wondering.
Yeah, I don't know. PTJM says skydiving, so you can see the ground clearly.
Those arms might get caught up in your parachute cord, and then you just turn into a dive.
Actually, that's a really good comment, because as a skydiver is coming towards the ground, they have to flare at the last couple moments to break and to glide to a safe stop. That actually makes sense, because if you've got some depth perception going on, then good for you, PTJM. That was a good point. Now you can sign out. I'm just kidding.
PTJM.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, so, and it says, Jacob Palomino says, can't wait for work tomorrow. I'm going to ask my friends the difference between motocross goggles and ski goggles. There you go.
One smells like two-stroke and the other one smells like rum.
Does anyone snorkel or scuba dive in the live comments right now that could verify, could you put these inside your...
That's a hard no, my friend. I'm telling you.
I don't know.
You're thinking like 1920s.
No,
fishbowl.
I'm pretty sure you can fit them in.
No.
Yeah, I think you're right. I heard your comment. Gavin is on crack. I don't know, Gavin. They are out from your eyes, and there is that airspace.
Sure.
Yeah.
Look.
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't you think it would go in one of those?
No. They're almost like separate chambers. I'm telling you.
All right. Well, why don't we move on, ladies and gentlemen? PTJM says that he thinks they would.
I think so too.
Yeah, okay.
Gavin's just being feisty for
I'm just getting the hell out of here.
No, stay.
You got PTJM agreeing with you guys. And
yeah. Phoenix Gasparini says, I have 5 goggles and they have the same product for diving. I don't know if the PB ones would fit because the diving ones are shaped different.
Thank you, Phoenix.
Oh, what do you know? Go change the transmission.
Phoenix.
Oh, she says she has dive goggles, not 5 goggles. Okay, I thought she was just bragging. Oh, 5
Look at you with goggle money.
George wants us to run home and get a scuba mask. He'll wait. Shane Buckland says, this is the greatest topic ever and sent us 20 stars.
I think those 20 stars was to shut up and move on.
Yep.
You can also get a prescription lens for your mask, says Roger Brewster. But come on, Roger Brewster, who's got scuba lens money? If you buy one of these, this will work in every single one of your goggles, including
now you're just false
Gavin
advertising.
Guarantees it's your scuba goggles.
PTJM, will they fit in your welding mask?
Do you know how you know you can get swim goggles that are prescription?
Because you have them?
Because Costanza left his goggles on top of the locker.
Ah, yes.
Does UZ make a monocle? Now that's what I want.
Yeah, just yes. Colonel Clint had one.
If I win the lottery, they're darn well going to make one for me.
McDonald's drive-thru.
I know nothing.
Oh, well. All right, let's move on here. We have mail time to get to, and we have a visual for mail time as well. But why don't we get to mail time just as soon as I tell you about my friends at Planet Eclipse. Planet Eclipse, from the point man to podium, Planet Eclipse Performance Paintball Hardware and Gear is designed, manufactured, and perfected to operate when the pressure is on, or when there is no pressure at all. Get Planet Eclipse, ladies and gentlemen. Take on the world.
EG, the smoke grenade company, has been providing the players, the playmakers, the photographers, and the storytellers with battlefield brilliant colors and creating wonderfully brilliant tales since 2005. Make sure your next adventure includes EG.
Ruthless is a versatile crew of industry vets and innovative enthusiasts dedicated to producing not just outstanding products, but also outstanding customer service. Use our promo code BTB1515 to score 15% off your next order.
Exalt, often imitated or copied, but never duplicated. The Exalt brand is constantly evolving to keep you out front and in the game. It is tournament ready, battle proven, and ladies and gentlemen, you can get it worldwide.
Worldwide? DLX Technologies, creator of the TM40 and the new Idol marker, and accessories used by some of the best. Light, sleek, and fast. The TM40 only available from DLX.
Ride 519. Whether you're riding on pavement, pathway, sand, or gravel, you can blaze your own trail with the one wheel. And before you ride off into the sunset or sunrise, use the promo code BTB10 to save 10% off your new ride at ride519.com.
Tanks. Everything is bigger in Texas. It is at Tanks Big Man Adventure Park, Houston's one stop for all ages action. Tank hits its targets every time with jelly ball, low in impact and regular paintball, airsoft and axe throwing. Book your next adventure with the Big Man. Hashtag get tanks.
There we go. Thank you to all of our excellent sponsors. Why don't we get into tonight's mail time?
Mail time.
And I have a question. I have a visual question for you. Want to get that one done?
You know,
first?
We're on the air right now. That's okay. Just keep chatting like we're in rehearsal.
No.
It's mail time, ladies and gentlemen. Time where I get to rip open my sack and read some of the correspondence that you, my friends, have sent in. So the first question comes to us from Mike USF. And he wants to know, I got a question. Is it still frowned upon to pick up rockets off the ground and hurl them at tanks? Because I did that a couple of times and it worked.
It might be hot. Wouldn't a rocket have a certain... Wouldn't that explode?
Wouldn't that be the same as like a picking up a grenade in real life that was not blown yet and throwing it again?
I wouldn't say frowned upon, but I think a good old fashioned fish shaken.
If you were the tank operator. I don't know. I personally feel that the tanks have more authority on the field and they have more rules for them than against them. So why not? I mean, it might be that gray area, but who's going to know? I don't know. Josh, what do you think? Super game, would you have picked up a rocket and thrown it back at the tank?
Probably not.
No? Yeah, I don't know that I would have thought of it, but yeah.
I don't know. Normally, the people who fire those rockets are
chasing them down.
Have such a hard on for like having the rockets back. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
they get pricey.
Yeah, they would. I think teams, like some of the organized teams, were like pooling money for the
rocket money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes to us from Shano Paintball. He wants to know, what is the fastest shooting non-reactive trigger mech that could be purchased today?
Ooh. Well, if you have a high output regulator and an auto mech, bounce, trigger, bounce.
Yeah. Some of the Cockers with their feather triggers have been pretty good. Yeah. What about any mechanical gun? What about the 170Rs or the 180R? I don't know. I think it all comes down to who. Oh yeah, well, it comes down to their trigger finger too.
It's more of a skill thing than a.
I think it comes down to the player, because I mean there used to be kids that could rip off 18, 20 balls a second. And same gun, some other guy is going to get barely that.
Yeah, you used to watch guys with autocockers walk the trigger, but they'd do things like they'd sit there and they'd adjust their three-way to suck like toilet paper down and in and shoot it at the front. And like it was like some of those guys are freakishly good with that stuff.
PTGM says Trippin response trigger.
I guess the response trigger, but you have
a pneumatic trigger. That's the same thing as an auto mag, right?
Yeah.
Close enough anyways.
James Williams just posted something. Hopefully see you all at the NXL viewing party, Las Vegas viewing party. They're having it at a local bar in Toronto.
Toronto.
It's on the weekend.
Yeah. There'll be some Behind the Bunker swag there as well for prize.
Nice.
Derek Lewis says, my 180R mech frame shoots as fast as you can pull it, a lot faster than mech EMEX I've had.
That's interesting.
But again, I think it comes down to the person that's... Yeah.
Yeah. Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah, man.
All right, next question comes to us from PTJM, and he wants to know, who is the top YouTuber for paintball?
I did some research.
Ooh, okay.
First time ever Behind the Bunker does research.
So this came from FedSpot, so it's dated from February 21st, 24. It's got 3,000 views on it. So the top YouTuber is Barker in the UK. He's got 605,000 subscribers. ANS Gear, 143,000 subscribers.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Go Sports, 110,000 subscribers. Lone Wolf Paintball, 105,000 subscribers.
They've been doing really well. I actually really enjoy the Lone Wolf.
Then the Wolf's Den, Booyah, 95,900. And another one, same Wolf's Den. He's got two, actually. Then Paintball Ruined My Life, 72,000 subscribers. Baird DiGigio has got 26,000 subscribers. Die's got 37,000. How to Play Paintball, 27. Ryan Greenspan, 39. We scroll down. Paintball Kuwait, better Kuwait than never. Pro Edges Paintball's got 7,800. Paintball Nerd, 1,500. And Behind the Bunker has 6,200. So that's your top, you know, your top one. And there's a total of 50 people. Huh. So there you go.
Nice.
All right. Hopefully that answered your question, PTJM.
And if it doesn't, yeah. I did my best.
That's right. Next question comes to us from Mr. Happy himself, Charles Holton.
Charlie.
And he wants to know, is it wrong to build an NXL field out of wood?
Out of wood, if you could.
It wouldn't rust.
It would be...
Does it float?
I think you lose some of the... Like, as field owners, we talked about doing that at one point, too. But the thing is, you lose what a bunker has, and it's the ability to flex and the nuances of it moving. You can move into it as a player and get tighter. You can use it to curve the bunker to kind of stick your barrel through.
Bounce shots as well.
Bounce shots, exactly. So, I mean... It makes a lot of sense. Plus, also, no matter what you make it out of, separate, you know, speedball bunkers are like, they're the easiest to move around and unpeg and peg. Like, I don't know how you'd make it easier. The only thing that I wish they would have is a, you know, a substance filled bunker, so like maybe spray foam or something, so it had an equal consistency no matter what the Jell-O. Temperature was out like. There you go.
They have a nice treat at the end of the day.
So I whatever, and it was kind of nice. The old original bunkers used to have regular valves so that they'd never go too far over pressure, so you'd have a better consistency of how taunt or how bouncy they would be. But yeah.
Shane Buckland said it's called Speed Soft, where you make bunkers out of wood for airsoft.
Yeah. I think that's really neat. So who's doing it? Is it I keep seeing HK post about
Speed Soft stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. It's neat.
All right, how about one more question before I wrap up sack? How about that? Let's go around the horn for this one. Is it, what do us old folks think of 2020? Let me try that again. Put my teeth in. What do us old folks think of 2024 paintball, speedball, woodsball, and scenario? What do you think about the state of the industry, the state of the sport right now? Let's shake our fists to the clouds.
Well, Joe's got the most experience with, you know, years of paintball. What are your thoughts?
I think you're going to see a bit of an uptick in people playing, whether you're playing. I can't just call it paintball anymore. We have to, whether you like it or not, we have to loop everything in together or bump everything in together. And I call it action sports. And you lump in paintball, whether it's low impact, then you have jelly ball for, you know, the smaller gateway entry. And then you have to throw airsoft in there as well, because if you have a paintball field and you're not offering airsoft as a viable option, they use the exact same thing. Yes, they take up more space on your picnic tables, but airsoft is truly a viable action. And I think you're going to see people like the realism. They like, you know, it's interactive cosplay, but, you know, most of all, whether you're playing paintball, speedball, rec ball, milsim, magfed, or airsoft, you also like the camaraderie. Hanging around with your friends, being with your friends, meeting people, helping out, being part of that community. And if you're balking at that, then maybe you need to look at more of an individual sport. But I think, you know, I think you're seeing you'll see a bit of an uptick, and and you're going to have to support some of these fields, because it's getting more and more expensive to run a decent paintball venue. So you're going to have to support, you know, and go out and help them promote and do what you can to bring business to these places, whether you're in India, whether you're in Mexico, whether you're in Colombia, Brazil, Canada, the States, England, wherever. You know, take a minute and bring a new pal out to play paintball. That's what it's all about, is introducing new people to the sport. Some people aren't going to dig it. They're not going to like it. They're not going to understand the passion, but there's going to be a handful of your friends and colleagues that will like it.
You can say comrades, that's fine.
Comrades, yeah. Depends where you are. So there you go. That's my take.
I think I long for the simpler times of back many years ago. And I say that because when I first started, it was 20 some odd years ago, and people came out and they played for a day. They'd get up early in the morning, they'd go to the field, and that's what they did. They had X amount of paint, and the gap of technology seemed to be closer. I think, you know what I mean? Like, now you can have a mechanical gun against a, you know, a high-end CS3 on the field playing together, and that's fine. But I think back 25 years ago, you had less of a gap that way. It was longer days. I don't know. People seem to be a little more hardy. But I don't know. It's just, we had longer campaign games. Like, people's attention spans were different.
Did we?
I don't know.
I don't know. We as an industry changed too. There's no reason why you can't evolve back. We control our own destiny as an industry, and there's no reason why we can't go back. Not necessarily 20 years, but there's no reason why you couldn't introduce the daily campaign game, because you've got people that, this is brand new people, and if you tell them it's fun and you show them how much fun it is, they might enjoy it.
So Todd, I'm not disagreeing with you that I long for the days of just all day play. But, you know, now that I'm a little bit longer in the tooth and a little bit more salt and the pepper, I like those session-based days. You can go out for a couple of hours on a Saturday and still get all of your honey-do list stuff done, right?
But
and
do you think your play has changed?
Yeah, I'm older. I'm slower.
But no, but like, do you think your play is more efficient now? You go to the field, you do your thing, you play, you go home. I don't know. I guess I'm thinking I remember it being more of a day where, you know, the games were a little slower. There was more time spent in the staging area where you'd shoot the shit and you'd just, you'd hang. And I don't know. Maybe I'm fondly looking back.
So thinking about like a Tuesday night mission paintball we used to play. You know, I'm rushing. I'm rushing from work. Changing in the parking lot and banging out like a couple hours of play, but great quality play, and that made my super evening and almost week.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what? And I'm okay with that. So I could go to work, I could play a couple hours, and I could still have that paintball fix and not a full day on a Saturday when you have sort of competing demands too, right? So I like getting it in, getting it out, you know, a couple hours, and it's not a huge commitment or sacrifice for, you know, if you've got family and other obligations. It's an easier sell, I think, you know, when you're able to just squeeze out for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping more fields offer these really quick session-based times versus a whole day play.
I miss the slower days, too, and I honestly think it's because of, largely in part, because of phones. do you know what I mean? Like, I had a phone back then, but, like, it was my afterthought constantly.
Yeah.
Like, I get in the car, I get halfway home, and it's like, oh, where did I leave my phone? I don't know. But now it's like, it's in people's front pockets, it's in protectors, and they get off the field. The second they whip, you know, it's out already, and they're taking pictures. They take, like, what? I like the fact that people are taking pictures. That's fine. But, like, how many times have we been sitting in the staging area? Somebody's like, yeah, I got a few more hours. I got all afternoon. And all of a sudden their phone goes ding, and they go, oh, I got to go.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Okay, it sucks, but, like,
I used to play paintball until the lights came on. Then I had to go home.
Bobby Douse, and I was thinking about this, and I wanted to add this. Bobby Douse, Rate of Fire. When I started playing, I went through 200 rounds in my Mark 1 Uzi the entire day. Now it's 200 rounds at the Crony. It's true. And we started playing, you know, simpler days. You had 10, 12 grams, and you carried five with you, and you had, you know, 10 or 20 tubes of paint, and those lasted a couple games. And it was a little... It was, you know... probably more expensive to play back then than it is now, arguably, no matter where you are. But I think the days were maybe a little slower. But I think nowadays you're getting more game play in a day than you would 25 or 30 years ago.
I would agree.
I think we as fly graders were pretty efficient. Like groups that would come out and even in the morning, they would get, because it was session based, people were getting 8, 10, you know, 12 games in a morning and then in the afternoon. Like people were perhaps pretty good value.
You know what? I think I'm going to change a little bit of my tune based on Joe's comment there, because we all went to Challenge Park, and one of the premier fields at the time, this was like 15 years ago, and we're all saved our pennies, you know, rode in everyone else's vehicles, got down there, and we got there, and all we wanted to do was play, and the referees took their goddamn time. And
nobody could shoot a case of paint.
That's right. When we got out to the field, they cronied us, then read us the rules, then we played the game, and when the game was done, we walked off the field, not switch sides and played again, and then we'd come back and we'd wait again. Then we'd go on the field, we'd chrono, then we'd get the rules read again, and then we'd play. Like, come on. Like, we bought paint, and we couldn't even shoot it. So But I think that's a lot slower than what I'm reminiscing of.
No, but even when we went to that other place in California, man, we had a hell of a time playing paintball.
Yeah. We couldn't even give our paintballs away. Quick shout-out before this goes too far. Dan and Hardy sent 500 stars. Thank you, Dan and Hardy. Oof. That's a new world's record, but he says Dynasty for the win on Sunday. So you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. He's betting everybody 500 stars. So if Dynasty does not win, it's a payday for you.
What were you going to say, Josh?
Oh, I was kind of surprised at the amount of fields I played at that don't switch ends.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd say to the ref, like, are we switching ends? And they go, well, why?
You know,
I just defended the castle. I wanted my chance to attack the castle. And then they'd say something like, oh, well, we'll probably do that this afternoon.
Yeah.
It's like, we're here. Let's switch.
Yeah. Hey, Wolf in the live chat is on his treadmill now. He says, my Spider Classic made paint last. By that rationale, same with my Evil Omen.
Well, in your marker breaks every other round, you have no choice to save paint.
But when you have to, like, press 7 to 9 pounds of pressure on your trigger to make one paintball come out on your Spider or your Tippmann, like...
When you get home and you got, like, your thumb, your finger sore from having to pull the edge on your trigger all the time.
I missed the comment. It scrolled, but Phoenix Casper, and you talked about stock class and pump play as well. That'll slow your day down and...
Do you know what pump? I know people say pump lowers the amount of fire that you use the round, but I find that when I play pump, if I see someone sticking out, I'll send one shot just to see where that goes, and then I'll start correcting from it. Right, so you're already one invested for every shot that you do, but as you get better, I think that rule of thumb will, you know, then you're only shooting one or two or three balls at a person, eliminating them instead of sending volleys of. Because when you have a semi-automatic or and it's electronic and you see a guy stick his head out of his bunker, it's not hard for you just to brrr and send five or six down.
Yeah.
Right? So
I find when I play pump, I'm like more aggressive.
Yeah.
So I end up shooting more. So I never feel like pump saves. But do you feel like, maybe this is the wrong word for it, but do you feel like in the staging area at some paintball fields now, it's gotten a little too elitist?
I think it depends
when it comes to, like, you know, sitting in the staging area and people are like, oh, this is for the MagFed only people. Gotta have MagFed come over here. Like, it's like, all right, before, you know, it'd be Saturday, walk on group A, walk on group B.
Yeah.
There you go. Now it's like you've got this almost elitist mentality of no, we're the MagFed only group. Yeah. We get our own referee. We get out our own.
Is this conversation start because we wouldn't let you play with little Johnny's birthday party?
Yeah.
Do you have a bunch of elitist 12-year-olds?
But I feel like there's a lot missing out on paintball when those people who own their markers, who invested time and energy in that, are not playing with the rental players. They're not helping them. They're not helping. It's like sometimes I feel like it's... It's not helping the sport.
I think rentals should stay with rentals, and then any other genre of play should play separately. But, you know, there's something we said about playing a MagFed-only game or a pump-only game or PGP2-only game, stuff like that, right? I quite enjoy having that sort of, like, segregated type of game, right? But everyone's on the same playing field.
But in everybody commenting on Gavin and what Josh said, if a field has enough demand to run a MagFed only group, an advanced level walk on, a medium level walk on, a beginner level walk on meaning equipment, own players, and then rental, various rental groups, and you can support that with a referee and giving those people what they want, and you know you're targeting to the niche markets. And everyone's getting the kind of gameplay they want. And I think that's kind of what's missing is when you have, you know, field operators throwing everybody together like Yahtzee and picking it out and people getting shot up. I think if you can have enough people showing up to play and you can make these, you know, niche or specialty groups and run specialty games for people, then I think that's pretty great.
Oh, dear God, Wolf, I'm loving that comment. We don't want no paint mixing segregation now.
Whatever, you know what I mean. You
speaking of Wolf's comments, he said, "Stay tuned to Behind the Bunker during Vegas. We'll have some surprise live streams." I'll be meeting up with good friend Wolf down there, and a lot of other people. That, as I said, we're going to try to pump out some content from the summit, certainly from NXL, and certainly from the awards. So stay tuned to all of our social media channels. And, there'll be some good stuff going on down there. We're really long in the tooth.
Yeah,
we didn't
so I'm
going to
cinch
our...
up my sack, and then we've got a few minutes left. I would like to see my friend Joseph's vault, if that's possible.
We have a vault segment. I think I'm going to leave the Paintball Antiques Roadshow to another week, because I'm starting to wind down on those. I only put so many in the can. So why don't we check out Joe's vault, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, it's Joe from Flaggers Paintball here, and with another segment from the vault. We go back in history, back in the early days of paintball, and I'll show you something that's kind of crazy, something that's old, and something you may not have seen before. Today is no different. Everybody likes Tiger Stripe, but I was rooting through some of my things, and I came across a Flag Raiders brochure. This is from the early 90s, probably 91, 92 era, not much after that. But you can see the background. It is all Tiger Stripe. Picture of the drug lab we're using. If you zoom in on this, we're all using auto mags and mini mags. This one, I had the tank. That's actually me playing. I had the tank going the other direction. It had a car stock on it, a VL200. We're wearing JT Crossfire goggles because Spectres hadn't been invented yet. These are USI vests. They used to make pink and yellow ones and orange, I believe, and green for referees. Open up the brochure and we have the traditional Flag Raider splat. Our field rental markers of the day were pump action tracers with USI 80 round loaders and Tippmann Pro-Ams first generation. And you can see that we have the Crossfire goggle system and JT Whippersnappers were our rental goggle of choice. And at the time we were giving everybody 40 paintballs, 1 7-ounce constant air bottle with CO2, JT Pro Style no fog goggle system with mask, or a JT Crossfire helmet. That's what we called them in the early days. We had 5 fields and the days began at 8:30 and ended by around 4 p.m. Pretty crazy. Brochure was designed so it could be folded in half. When you mailed people things before the internet, this predates the internet. As you notice, there's no website on here. There's no social media because Mark Zuckerberg was in about grade 4. So that's kind of crazy, no social media. So we'd print someone's address, throw a stamp on it, and drop it in the mail. So this is a little bit of marketing history from Flag Raiders back in the day, and it's our older style logo with the pink splat. I still like purple, but pink was sort of the thing back then. But anyway, thanks for watching this week's segment from the vault, where we go back in time, back in the early days of paintball, and we'll see you soon. Pew, pew.
All right. And that was designed back before computers were a thing, and that was mostly crayon and Joe's coloring.
Etch-a-sketch.
Like I said, that goes back. You guys heard it. But, you know, that predates the internet. Our website didn't come till, 92, 93, 94 when Jeremy made it. But that thing predates it. There's no social media. You know, that's what you would leave in stores. You know, you'd mail to people. You'd give them to group organizers, people that came out and played. And that's how paintball was promoted, other than the yellow pages. For you folks that don't know what the yellow pages are, Google it.
That's when Joe used to have his fingers do his walking.
Well done, my friend.
Yes.
Was it fingers do the walking or fingers do the talking?
Let your fingers do the walking.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Oh, by the way, we got a yellow pages in our mailbox last week.
Really?
Yeah, so do
it's,
we.
It's 3/8 inch thick. Well, 3/4 inch thick, I would say. And the first thing I did was I rolled it and then I ripped it. Right? And then I went right into my recycling. No. It's just how whatever. And then I went right in my recycling bin. I'm so disappointed that we're still printing those things. Whatever.
I you know what? Before we move on. Yeah. You gotta love those salespeople who actually sold those ads to people thinking, hey, this is gonna be a big money maker.
I was talking to my neighbor about it because I was cheesed about it, but I said I missed the yellow pages when it was somewhere worth to advertise because it was the only place to advertise.
Yeah.
Now, we spent tens of thousands of dollars on yellow page advertising without even exaggerating, but it was all money funneled into one spot. And that's where everybody looked. Like,
yeah.
Now you don't have that. You have to be on Instagram. You have to be on Facebook. You have to be on the coupon clipper. You have to be in the local newspaper, even though no one looks at it. You have to be, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Sorry, we should get into our tonight's topic.
Absolutely.
Real quick. And it is, what new product are you guys hoping to come out this weekend at the summit or the first event of NXL? And we're going to watch you guys in the live chat. So if there's something that you guys would like to see, post it up. So a lot of you guys have posted on our social media pages, which we'll try to read some of those. But as you guys are watching, post up in the comments and we'll try to get to your comment on the, and we are also watching your live comments on Instagram. So Glowball, says Shane Buckland.
All right.
Michael Goodwin says product with real margins. Mark Davis says good paint. And then Michael Paul Eide says, Mark Davis, we didn't know good paint when he had it back RP in the late 90s. Even early 90s was good.
We're not going to talk about the good old days again. Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, talk to someone who's shot paint 10 or years ago or more, and there is a huge difference.
There sure is. Andy Piper, Eclipse Cocker with an E-blade. Thomas Bork, a sub-$250 pump marker. NXL pump division is worthless if you can't buy a decent pump when you're interested. There you go. That's my
PTJM, cheaper MagFed markers and better aftermarket brands for woods ball markers. And John Jones says EMF 100 with a gas through stock.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Dan WD Donahoe says bunkers filled with stuffing. No longer need to keep them filling up.
They'd be tasty.
Except for Thanksgiving. Stovetop.
Yeah. It's like a beanbag chair, isn't it?
Ooh, Dan Donahoe, Resurrection 2.0.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, I like that.
Happy Holton, maintenance-free inflatable bunkers. Somebody else mentioned Derek Johnson, HK Glow Paint.
There you go.
Phoenix Gasparini, I'd like to see more tech integrated with masks and player location communication. That would be pretty slick.
Amen. Amen.
Adrenaline Paintball kicking in with new Tippmann rental and a 50 cal PE pistol.
Wouldn't that be cool?
All right, so Neil Chittenden says Hydratech. He says, come on, I couldn't have been the only one excited. But is Hydratech making an appearance again? Are they back, or is this just a troll?
Sounds like Terratech.
I think he's just hopeful. He's wishful thinking. For those of you who don't know who Hydratech is, they were water-based paint. Yep. Yeah. So they did have color in them. They had pigment, but it was water-based.
And you could actually splat in two different colors as well.
I like Jeff Thompson's comment, a proper paintball podcast.
There you go.
Mike Thompson says, we have some companies making boards to keep our old electros on the field. How about someone make a rebuildable solenoid for older electro markers?
Ooh.
That sounds like a Simon problem.
How about Bob Spisser? He wants a cheaper alternative to first strike rounds.
You just pick them up off the ground.
I would like a cheaper first strike round that was also a little more frangible.
And a little more biodegradable, yes.
Yeah.
Do you know how many CD cases I shattered? Never mind.
How many what, sorry?
CD cases.
From Columbia House?
They're made out of the same plastic.
Oh, okay.
Polystyrene?
You know what no one brought up is goggles. No one wanted to see new goggles.
I want to see goggles. We've had new goggles with a bump helmet.
Or hoppers. We have so much of that out there. And they're all good. We don't need anything new.
No one gives a poop about the rental market and having an integrated helmet.
Yeah. Custom hopper kicking cleats with steel toes, says Wolf.
That's awesome.
There you go. Walmart second strikes. That's awesome. Well done. Oh, by the way. Speaking of, we were talking about the gel guns and stuff earlier. I wrote this down in an ad by a company that sells them and that's pretty reputable in the industry. They refer to the ammunition that you would use, like we would call paintballs for paintball guns, gelets.
Okay. Gelets.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
When I first heard that, I thought, that's really clever. I didn't even think of that. Kind of like bullets, but gelets. Because let's be honest, even the moms out at the paintball field are calling paintballs bullets and putting them into their kids' hoppers. Yep. So, like,
yeah.
I have to pick up a gel blaster at some point.
Oh, and John Jones with his angel eyes.
John Jones is here.
Good for you. Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, I would really love to see the Empire HUD revisioned with something. And I would like to see it as something that is like this, the UZ clip-ins, that would have that technology that you could just put into your goggle, whether it's a little focal thing or something. So you don't have to buy like a specific goggle. You can buy the one you want.
I actually, you know what I was thinking about that? I think I did some research on Recon, which is the company that did the goggles, the Recon Instruments, I think. They were in BC, and they were bought out by a company in 2017, 2018, and they all sort of went their different way. And the company itself, Recon Instruments, is no longer. I don't know who bought the technology or who has the technology, but that company is sort of has long since dissipated. But they raised $60 million or $100 million in funding to come out with the goggles. Just
I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I think it's Google Lens.
Yes.
No, sorry, not it's Google like Glass. The Google VR.
Okay.
Whatever it is. They've come out with a application for construction where you get a tape measure, and when you measure something, you press it and it goes open, and then it butts up against the end and it measures the distance and actually saves it like on a virtual scoreboard. And I was like, if you could get those as paintball goggles, like paintball safe goggles, like you would, like that makes a heads up display, like the HUD that was in the like automatically obsolete.
Yeah. All I want in my heads up display is in-ear communication with anybody through a mesh network. I would like to have the weather. I would like to see text messages. I would like to see
some Netflix maybe.
Distances. And then I would like to see like little pins. Windage would be good, yeah, and yardage. And I would like to see little pins of where highlights either other players or task-oriented things are, like flags or bases, something like that, in a real time, not a map, but like where I'm looking. Like that would be cool. I'm not asking for much.
That probably aren't expensive. Maybe thermal vision too.
Wolf said a die damn 2.0. Now, let's put on our conspiracy caps for a minute. Does Wolf know something we don't know, and we might see something coming up?
Gavin before the show said Wolf knows nothing.
I believe I use far more colorful language though.
Yes. Yeah. No. Maybe. Maybe.
Know something we don't know. Maybe.
Everybody knows many things that we don't know.
Well, then, but yes.
Ammo counter, Wolf says.
Doesn't someone have that?
Yeah, but wouldn't that be neat as a heads up? Like if you could keep track of what's in there.
It would be kind of neat if you had everybody linked together with a game timer.
Yep.
Just that's a countdown.
True. Like Wolf fuel orders talking timer? Yeah.
Countdown to hot dog time.
And PTGM says infrared. Goggles. I think if you could have like a FLIR or whatever those things are, where you can see like the thermal airlines? Imaging and stuff like that. No FLIR.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be really neat. Because then if it doesn't matter that if you're wearing a tiger stripe hoodie and nobody can see you in the bush, there you go.
You know, how many screens do you think Philip Thomas John Marshall has? Because he said Wolf is from the future, but I bet he's got every item, everything he has open, and he's able to comment on several streams simultaneously. What are we broadcasting on? Facebook, Instagram, YouTube?
Yep.
What else?
Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.
That's it.
Is there more things that we could do?
So Dan Hardy's asking, can we get an official BTB Tiger Stripe jersey? You can... okay. You can get official Tiger Stripe jerseys if you really want one.
Social paintball.
Or message me and I'll get you a hold of Tim. But if you want Tiger Stripe hoodies... Tiger Stripe hoodie says Jason Dib. I can get them and I can do them. It's just what I would need is cash up front because they were very expensive jerseys. So maybe what I'll do is I'll price together in the next couple of weeks. And
Nova Paintball, we are actually sorry, Gavin. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I saw that I was going to get to that, but no,
that's all yours. Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nova Paintball is releasing a new semi and pump marker slash. So holler at your boys, Nova, if you want us to test it out. We'll run it through its paces.
Yeah. Pack an extra one. I'll be there, and I can bring one home. Sounds good. Phoenix says, take my money.
Speaking of products, I know we talk about this every once in a while, but a hopper that has a chrono in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Mike Thompson says, a quiet Dyson-style goggle fan.
Now, why hasn't Dyson tapped into that market?
Exactly. Eh? Once that Swedish fellow decides to try paintball.
He's British.
Yeah. Infrared Tiger Stripe.
No.
Could be a thing.
Inferno.
No, I was reading this infrared, but yeah, okay. I got to go do me some learning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're kind of near the end of our show. As they mentioned before earlier tonight, there will be no show next week. I'll be down at Vegas, so we won't be doing anything. But watch our social media channels. We'll have whatever that's funky and fresh up on our Instagram and Facebook feeds. And then we'll come back with a show the following week, and I'll try to bring some highlight videos so that you guys can see what was kind of cool down there. And Did we capture everything today? We didn't get prices right. We didn't finish mail time. We didn't do lightning round, which was my goal tonight. We didn't hear paintball roadshow. So there's lots to come back for next week. There'll be a new vault. Not sorry, in 2 weeks. God. So check it out. 2 weeks. Tezzy Smythe says, very interesting show. Good night. Well, not just yet. Good night. Till we have to say good night to Gavin Sharma.
Good night. Don't go anywhere. We have a little bit of an after show, do we not?
No, I think.
I think we'll.
We're good?
Yeah,
we're
I think all so. Right. I think so.
All right, forget it. We went these
long.
Guys.
Yeah, we went long anyways. Good night from Team Tags, he says. Good night to Joe.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, it's garbage night in Cambridge and recycling.
Dan Hardy says, go put 500 stars on the roulette table.
Nice.
Josh Zubizaburkis.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for watching. And don't forget to have your local airsofters spayed or neutered.
Very good. We'll see you guys next week.